Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Beloved, I want to talk about a gathering storm this morning. Last week, we talked about the blessing of Judah, and we talked about the roaring 20s, that we are not in just a new year, but a new decade in which God is going to do amazing things. And last week, you go hear the message from last week. But it's going to be a year of uncommon celebration of you. You know, I always say, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. This is a decade where the Lord is going to celebrate you. Where you've just been tolerated, you're going to be celebrated. And we found that was a constituent element of the blessing of Judah. He was praised by his brethren. He was taken from fourth place, and he was made first place. Reuben lost his first place position. Judah was exalted. It's a year and a decade where God's going to promote his children. Some of his kids have been fourth place in life, but they're going to be bumped up to number one. So we looked at patterns, and we looked at lion-like patterns. Lions can see in the dark. So there's something about being able to see with those night vision glasses on. It's sort of like shooting fish in a barrel. Have you ever seen those things? When you can see in the dark and no one else can. Well, today we're going to talk about an element. I want to talk about a gathering storm, but this is not a negative thing. The gathering storm is you, little locust. We're going to look at locusts today. Oh, do we have a nice picture? Yeah, bring in the high state, the graphics. On cue. There, bang!
Bang, locust.
Pow. The youth, I can hear them running back into the church. For those of you listening, you can go online later and see this nasty, ugly picture of the most mentioned insect in the Bible. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there is a very interesting verses, chapter 30, verses 24 and 28. God mentions four things that are very small. We usually think of big things. If it's bigger, it's better, it's best. In the kingdom of God, God extracts brilliant lessons from small things. And I've got a whole series on this, but we're only going to focus on the locust because the locust does nothing on its own. The locust only works in tandem with the swarm. This is going to be a year where God's going to bring you out of your isolation, and he's going to replace you and weave you into a swarm-like garment and invite you into fellowship. And you know, sometimes, loved one, we get isolated. And as the years go on, we just get more and more isolated. You know, isolation is hell. Relationship is heaven. And you were built and born to be interdependently woven. Notice all the images of the church are a body, many parts making one body, many parts of a building equaling one building, many individuals in an army making up one army. All the images of the church in the Bible are corporate entities, right? Gathering entities, swarming entities. Because when we unite together in the name of Jesus Christ, arm in arm, we become a locust swarm that blinds the devil. He's terrified of what you may do in healthy relationship. Now, he goes after the sheep that are weak and straggle in the back. I know it's not funny anymore, but that's why I'm the shepherd. They have to eat through you to get to me, and by the time they get to me, they're vegetarians. Put yourself in the middle of the flock. Put yourself in the middle of the swarm, and God's going to bring this glorious gathering storm, and it's going to, do we have a picture? The other picture of a swarm. Look at that. That's a locust swarm. They can go 400 miles. You can have 20 billion locusts in a swarm, and they are the terror of the ancient world. This is the most feared army in the ancient world, the locusts. And by the way, you can hear them coming. You, I don't know. I was raised in the Midwest. We had locust swarms come in. Scared, the ugliest looking thing. Everything's against the locust. It's ugly. It's misjudged all the time. Its leg to wing ratio is off. It just looks weird. Have you ever seen one of them alone? They're just funky looking. But what's interesting in the Bible, Proverbs 30, 24 to 28. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Conies, that's what that should say, are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. And a lizard or a spider can be caught with the hand, yet it's found in kings' palaces. Small things yield great messages. Now, what's interesting, we're going to focus on the locust, all right? Because as strange as it is, the locust is a Levitically clean animal. Now, its appearance is against it. Leviticus 11, 22, though, says you can eat. The Jew could eat locusts. Do you remember any prominent Jewish prophet that lived 30 years in the wilderness that ate locusts? John the Baptist. What a weirdo this guy. I mean, he's wearing garment made of camel's hair, and camels are unclean animals. I mean, you couldn't touch them if they're dead, and you couldn't eat them ever, but their hair could be used and woven together into a garment, all right? So that was suspicious. You know how religious legalists get nervous about anything that looks a little off. John's got camel's hair woven together into an outfit to remind everyone of Elijah the prophet. That's true. But he ate locusts. And he ate, what else did he eat? Wild honey. Did you know in the Bible bees are unclean? They're unclean creatures because they're bugs, but honey is clean. We're moving into the roaring 20s. We're moving into a time where everything's going to look a little sketchy. But don't misjudge, like everybody misjudges the locust. Has anyone ever misjudged you or your life or what you stand for or what you believe, and they just had a label they stuck on you, that's it, no more discussion? Locusts are misjudged all the time, but everything is against them. Their appearance, their sound, nobody wants them as pets. But they're so harmless alone, a six-month-old can go and kill it without any resistance. But they never travel alone. They swarm. And loved one, I'm telling you right now, the Lord's bringing us out of our isolation, and he's putting us into a wider picture of the body of Christ. I think we're going to start finding our place. Because alone, we're just like the locust. We're powerless, helpless. One locust can do nothing. It just sort of should be killed. That's how bad it looks. I saw one when I was in Des Moines. I was walking, and the kids were walking as they will, and there was one locust sitting there. And they said, "Craig, go pick him up." And I said, "You pick him up," because they were weird. They don't fly so much as they jump, but they jump like when the gun goes off and the 15 people in the race have no sense of direction. They all go off in 100 different directions, right? And you never know what they're going to do. But notice, to the Jewish mind, these were kosher. These were clean. And I mention that to you because I've been kind enough to bring a bag of salted locusts this morning. So anyone that's adventurous moving towards the roaring 20s could say, "I'm just like John the Baptist." But I want you to look at this, but we'll open these in a bit, right? All right, we'll give these in the offering. Amen. Look at Gretchen. Look at Gretchen's resisting the Holy Ghost right there, right down front. Now, notice, John was in the wilderness. You know what happens after locusts center on an area and eat everything in sight? They leave behind them a wilderness. So John the Baptist is in the wilderness, and he's eating the very thing that makes a wilderness, a prophetic symbol. John says, "This locust represents the swarms that have destroyed your life. I'm eating them." He was what he was eating. He was a locust anointed by God. And we're going to find out in just a few minutes as we go through some quick traits of the locust. One of the traits is that they jump. They know timing. They can smell the wind coming, and they corporately move with one impulse, and they leap into the air. It's not their wings, it's the wind. And you know what? John the Baptist, God's little locust, is waiting in the wilderness. Do you know timing is everything in the kingdom? Timing is everything, everything, everything. There's a reason why you haven't had a corporate life before now. There's a reason why you had a time of isolation. But the point is, I'm announcing that it's over. The Lord is going to start bringing people into your life. When God wants to move in your life, he brings people. When the devil wants to move in your life, he brings people. See? Same technique. But locusts teach us that we are to do nothing ultimately alone, because we're better together. I need you. You need me. I always say, are you looking through your glasses or at your glasses? You're looking through your glasses. I'm looking at your glasses so I can see you in a way you cannot see yourself. You're looking through your life. I'm looking at your life so I can see you in a way that you can't see yourself. So I need you. I can't see the back of my neck. You can. I need you, and you need me. It's a corporate thing. And, you know, many of us have been in extraordinary seasons of isolation. And I just felt the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start crying. I just felt the Holy Spirit said, I'm breaking your isolation. I'm bringing you back into community. There's 100 reasons why we don't want to be communing with anybody. I get it. But, you know, there are, God's big enough to make a safe swarm for you to belong to. Doesn't need to be a big swarm. It can be a baby swarm. But the idea of unity, now there's a big difference between union and unity. Locusts teach us that. Union, you can tie two cats by the tail and throw them over a wire. That's union. Unity is your car. Okay, I could technically put all 3,000 pieces of your car in the parking lot. Okay, but and that would be your car, sort of. But they need to be put together. So a car is an example of unity, right? Union is, we've all of us hooked up in unions that, you know, it's like, okie dokie, we've seen what we can do in our lives. We've seen what the devil can do in our lives. Union is not what God wants. He wants unity. He wants to plug the Coniflin pin where it goes. I know nothing about cars, but my friend taught me to say a Murphy rod and a Coniflin pin. So to this day, I say, is the Coniflin pin all right? Like I've been telling Arwen, I said, it's going to rain. My lumbago is hurting. She said, what's a lumbago? I said, honey, you're 13. You don't know what a lumbago is? Jeez. Millennials. Z. It's sort of a butt ache, you know, a backache, right? Grandma had it and she always knew everything. You know, my grandson's in sin right now. Wow, my lumbago went on. It's like, okay. Then grandma went out and had her medicine. All right. It was always better. But I want you to, with a spoon, you know, I caught her in the closet. I'm having my medicine. You know, it's like, that's a lot of medicine for one day. But who am I? She's always better after the medicine. I wore this vest the other day and had a complete dinner. You know, I'm 60. Got up, you know, just smiling at people and sort of, walking out of, I had breadcrumbs just all over. Like a human would have to roll wet in actual bread in the back of Jaguli shop. Hey, we got it, you know, it was so horrible. And I'm walking through the mall like, hey, they're all looking at me. Of course they are, you know, oh Lord, forgive me. I just spit on the, forgive me. So anyway, back to the text. So John, Gretchen, we need, there's help for that. John the Baptist is in the wilderness eating the very symbol of what makes a wilderness. But he was waiting for his time. Listen to this text. Listen to this. This is one of the parts of the Bible that you just read it and you think it's boring and then you find out it's meaty. Luke 3, 1 through 2. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, listen, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John had been waiting for 30 years for the right people to be in political power and the right people to be in the religious power. And when everybody was right where they needed to be, the wind was just right, John could smell the wind, and he leapt, bang, right into the wind. Do you know that's what locusts do? They don't so much fly. They jump, and they jump at the right time into the right wind, and then they swarm. It is absolutely majestic and terrifying because they're led with one basic impulse and a starvation diet, which is to wipe out anything they see. Once in corporate identity, equally yoked together, they set their little hearts on a plot of land. It is a foregone conclusion. It's all gone. And in the ancient world, it was like, it was one of the 10 plagues in Egypt. Remember that? The locusts showed up. Everybody went, oh my God. And they're in the bathtub and they're everywhere. Locusts in your yogurt, in the fridge, in the bathtub. You know, and they just are terrifying when you see the swarms. It's just like, ooh, yuck. But it's opposite day because I want you to see it's a majestic imagery of the unity of the body of Christ the Lord is calling us to participate in. I need you, you need me, the hand needs the arm, needs the foot, needs the heart, needs the spleen. You know, can you imagine if your heart quit working because it wasn't most visible? Nobody's applauding me. I guess I'm useless. No, no, no. Keep going. You're valuable. You're valuable. You know, play 4 Joel Osteen tapes for your heart to get it. You know, honey, thank God your important organs don't quit because they're not getting under. Here they are. You know, the one thing about locusts, you never see a locust cult because there are no individual locusts like chain smoking in the corner. Like, I've got these neat ideas and I want to change. No, no, no. They're all corporate. They're all about a swarm. They only work together. And there's something suspicious about people that get really isolated. Those are the folks that start cults. Usually sex cults of some kind, you know, info. And so you put tattoos on your wrist. People that get isolated start thinking crazy stuff. See, when you're in the swarm, when you're in the body, when you're in an area where there are people in your life who know your world, it's easier to be accountable for them to start seeing you going off rather than let you go off into crazy for 6 months by yourself. Have you seen him? No, I haven't seen him in 9 months. Where is he? Jeremiah Johnson made his way into the mountains. He's in a cabin. Oh, no, he isn't shaved. Oh, my God. Isolation is hell. Relationship is heaven. God's calling us as locusts to gather together, to get ready to swarm. And you know what? Once they set their vision on something, there's no stopping them. You cannot stop them. Once the locusts come, it's over. They will get in. They shrink down. They'll go under the door. If they can't get in the door, they shrink down and go under the window. If they can't, they'll go down the chimney. But when they set their focus, nothing can stop them. You know what they used to do to trick them? They'd start fires and hope the lead locust would go into the fire because all the rest will follow. But here's the thing. They will willingly sacrifice themselves until their collective moisture puts the fire out. They will sacrifice in order to allow those behind them to succeed. Then they would dig pits and put water in, and if a lead locust went for the water, they all followed, but they would follow in their millions until they absorbed the liquid and created a land mass for the others to walk across. You can't stop them. No man-made thing can stop the swarm of the locust. Now, how much more the body of Christ? As we serve Jesus, yes, personally in our relationship, but that we also yoke together. We're better together. That's what the locust is trying to tell you. And John waited for the wind. He waited it had to be the 15th year of Tiberius. Pontius Pilate had to be the procurator of Judea. Did you ever feel sometimes that God must be building a greater strategy planning for my advancement? Loved one, it's all timing. I mean, John had to wait. So there were legitimate reasons for your isolation, but those are over. Once the last politician was elected, and now you know it's someone everybody hated, but it doesn't matter because God knows exactly who needs to be who where when the call for you to leap into the wind comes. And you say, well, why didn't I leap into the wind in my 20s? Well, you did leap into some winds. Let's move right on. It's getting convicting. Yeah, you jumped into a lot of things. So, God's getting a collection of weirdos together, you know? There's just something about locusts. It's like, ooh. You know, you ever seen kids with bugs? If they don't know what it is, they want to kill it. Their first instinct is to kill something. Why did you kill it? I didn't know what it was. It's like, well, you have to adapt those skills as you get older because God loves to use strange looking things to fulfill his will. Strange looking people, strange looking situations, strange. But you see, you need maturity to negotiate the kind of swarming that's necessary in the future. Notice John the Baptist. He was a weird looking guy. Think about it. He's wearing camel's hair. That's mildly suspicious for the religious spirit. Did that come from a camel? Yeah, camels is unclean. Don't go near him, is he? What's he doing? He's eating honey? Did you know bees are unclean? Yeah, but honey isn't because the rabbis figured out that they don't process the honey. They carry the honey. So they're not making it as creeping things. They're
vehicles of it. So honey's clean, but they're unclean. It gets real technical when God uses people and things. He's eaten something from an unclean bug with camel hair. My God, what have the youth come to? Come back to God now. Everything God does looks weird. And then he's eating the locusts, which you will do shortly, in place of communion. Come on, where's your faith? Look at this fear of man is on you. Fear of insects. Randall and I aren't afraid of no stinking locusts. I got to rope somebody in to make them commit to taking one of those. Crunchy. Amen. Not everything in life looks right, but it can be clean anyway. Have you ever, you know, I've been going over my life. You know, I'm doing this, you know, amazing, like, journaling and journeying. And I'm 60 years old now. I feel like I'm maybe 164. And I'm looking back on everything and trying to understand everything one decade at a time. Remember when there was enough time to burn away a decade? Like magician's flash paper. Remember that? Boom! The 70s. It's okay. I've got the 80s and the 90s. And then, you know, it's like, boom! You know, where'd that go? You know, where is everybody? Who was the guy that goes to sleep and wakes up 100 years later? I never remember. Rumpelstiltskin. Yeah. You know, you just sort of wake up later and, like, there's no more punk rock. You know. Rip Van Winkle, whoever. A lot of folks have gone into hibernation. You've heard me mention this before. An animal goes into hibernation when there isn't enough food to sustain it and the season isn't right. God made animals have to hibernate. And many of us have hibernated for decades because it wasn't the right time, there wasn't the right food, and you would have died. And so you have hibernated, but it's time. He's calling us out of hibernation. Because hibernation always isolates you narcissistically in your own little bubble of addiction or comfort or whatever it is. And so the Lord isn't rebuking us. He's just waking us up. And you really have to watch how you wake certain people up. Okay? When you wake up my son Grant, he goes, "What? Hey, what?" You know, it's just like, and I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's like a slam dancing, you know. It's a thing where we have to, like, you know, throw something across the room to avoid the initial battery charges. So Brooke's fine, though. Brooke just wakes up and sits up immediately like she's been up all day with makeup on. And so she's totally different. But so the Lord is sort of poking and prodding us. Remember last week, though, we looked at Judah the lion. You got to watch how you rouse up an old lion. You got to make sure they're not hungry anymore and they've been eaten to their heart's content. That's when you move forward, because they will never wantonly kill just to kill. They won't touch you if they're full. That's the difference between human beings and the creatures God made. We will wantonly kill just for the killing. Animals don't do that. If they're not hungry, you're fine. How you doing? You can scratch my neck right here. It's like, oh, look, we're in the millennium. No, you're not. He's getting a little hungry. Watch out, watch out, watch out. See, God is waking the lions up. God is waking his hibernating people up, and he's calling his little locusts forward. And he says, look, I know it didn't make sense to live your life in isolation, but you're going to fit in perfectly. You're like the spleen. You know, what's the spleen? You are absolutely necessary for the ongoing progress of the kingdom of God. And so he's going to put you into a wider portrait. Isn't that good news? That, you know what, that maybe he's coaxing us out. Pastor Rick and I use the example. Remember the James Bond movies when he's standing on the bridge and the wall is pushing him, like, slowly into the, with the unusually slow dipping mechanism. There's sharks usually in the, you know, and he just slowly, the wall. I said, Rick, do you feel like the Holy Ghost is, like, pushing us out? He goes, yep, I got the same feeling. He bore witness. God's just moving us out of isolation, back into community. Don't be nervous. Don't be afraid. It's like the beautiful worship to do. You're safe here. Isn't that a beautiful song? You're safe here. You come home. You know, there is a safe swarm for you. Not the entire body of Christ is not some dangerous swarm. Most of it, but not. I was corrected by the Holy Ghost himself. No, it can be a nightmare, you know. Praise God. I heard a preacher that we used to know a guy. No. Well, we called him Prayer Guy because this was his prayer persona. So he goes from zero to Father, and his kids, shut up, Father. We asked, Lord, that your mercy would flow. I said, shut up. And I'm like going, oh, my God. He's calling the Father God guy. Just Father God, me, Father God, ask Father God that your Father. He knows who he is. 42 Father Gods. Don't do that. Okay. You see, you thought I was getting a little, I'm straight on this thing. I know where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. They know when to leap. They know when to leap into the wind. A swarm can eat 400 million pounds of plants in a day. They can travel 400 miles. Can you imagine? Look at the only thing that terrifies the devil is when he sees the swarm of unified brothers and sisters in Jesus coming, marching in tune. You can hear it. Do you want to know what the devil does in a culture and in a time when you don't know what's going on? Look for tantrums. See any tantrums in the culture? Any division? Guess what happens? You can see we've got the youth. The Holy Ghost is moving. He's got a locust spirit, I sense, in the second row. There's two locust devils. Dennis, they're cicadas. They're not locusts. Get them out. We need to purge this place of the youth completely. Get them out. Or ain't going to be no growth in this house. Well, so anyway, prayer guy was a little bit, you know, scary to me. But I was raised like in the church world. So I've seen every wicked swarm you would never want to jump into. But that does not negate the fact that we belong to Jesus and must be integrated into the body of Christ. We can't live in isolation. So the Lord, here's the good news. You just seek God, the blessings will find you. You just be faithful where you are, but God knows how to make the blessings come to you, the people that you need, the fellow locusts that need to come into your life, that need to cross your path. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come to you. The thing, when you seek them, you can't have them. When you ignore them and serve God, they follow you like goodness and mercy. He's like, what? Wouldn't it be better just to relax and let people come to us that need to come to us? They're going to find you. They're going to hear your music. They're going to meet you. Everybody's on the way. Every little locust that needs to hook up with you is going to run into you at an airport, wherever you happen to go. Someone has your number. Just one phone call, one email, one hug, one handshake can change your life. But it's going to involve unity, not union. You've been in union with a lot of weird stuff. Unity, where God builds you into the picture. And then you have peace because you're in your destined place. Paul the Apostle put it this way. The eye can't say to the ear, I'm not going to be used because I can't hear. I want to hear. Well, eyes see, ears hear. We need all of the parts of the body to equal the body. Nothing can stop the locusts. They don't fear fire. They don't fear water. They can smell the wind. And here's another thing. Locusts are trendsetters. Bees are copycats. They're brilliant. They're ingenious. But they all do the same thing brilliantly. Locusts are like the best jazz musicians you've ever heard in your life. You know, when musicians think there's something and then you go and you hear perfection. And it's all just a little, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know. And you just want to go shoot yourself because you can never, ever do that. I don't know how they did that. And in New Orleans, I used to hang out with these jazz people. I'd go to the jazz club and when I was growing up. And there, it was so, they were the hippest, coolest, locusty kind of creatures, weren't they? A jazz swarm and the impulse of a jazz swarm is unlike anything. The bees are orderly, but locusts are trendsetters. God's going to bring a swarm of trendsetting locusts. It's going to be so cool. But notice there's no, they're not Americans. It's not raw individualism. Why aren't I the only locust being seen here? Now, if I was leading this swarm, we'd really be. No, there's no, it's all corporate. There is no individual. There's no rugged American individuality. How you doing? Now, when I take charge of this show, we're going somewhere. No, it's God by His Holy Spirit, bringing the corporate impulse. Do you know, interesting fact, if you want to know whether someone's worldview matters, President Lyndon Baines Johnson, during the Vietnam War, he had a problem. He had many problems, but he had one specific problem. He didn't understand the difference in worldview between the Vietnamese and the Americans, right? He's thinking, in his Western worldview, everybody wants, what do they want? A chicken in every pot, two cars in every garage, right? Bills paid, white picket fence, 2.5 kids. Never understood that. Who's the 0.5? It's like, oh, he is a little strange, isn't he? Well, listen, we just keep him there in the box, you know. But Johnson has this Western American worldview. The only problem is the Vietnamese think corporately, like locust swarms. The individual's nothing. It's the collective. You couldn't explain that to Lyndon because he's just thinking, well, send more chicken. They all want what we want. No, they don't want what you want. Do you see, when you're dealing with someone whose worldview isn't into rugged individualism, but utter collectivism, where only the collective matters, like all those locusts that give their life to put out the fire and to staunch the water, we don't, wow, that's a whole different worldview. Loved one, we're moving forward into the roaring 20s, and we have to understand the worldviews that we're dealing with. Because if you misunderstand someone's world and life view, then you're imposing you and your trip on them, and they can't even understand what you're saying. It's like Charlie Brown's teacher. In Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? That's how the youth hear me. All right, in conclusion, the preacher's boy said to the mama, "Mama, what does in conclusion mean?" And she said, "Absolutely nothing." Yeah. Be quiet. I'm done when I'm done. Cakes are done. People are finished. Okay. Well, I'm ready to stop. Ooh, I'm ready to open this bag. Come on. Come on. Now listen to me. The locusts are good. Did you get a lesson? Okay, understand. It's corporate. God's pulling you out of isolation into relationship. So just say yes. Brooke will see me stand here for a half an hour trying to open something. She goes, "Dad, honey, open those up. I'm starting to shake." Those kids eating those dang locusts. Once they have one, they'll be chasing the rainbow the rest of their life. Here, honey, will you go ahead? Oh, my God. Oh, this is better than the sermon. Oh, Lord. Oops. All right, who's willing to try one? Honey, I really respect you right now. My respect. Oh. They smell a little nasty. Is it all right?
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
Oh, they're crunchy. All right, Randall, look at you. Thank you, brother. Come on, brother. No, they're good. They could be more salty. Ah! They don't have enough salt.
I think they taste better than mealworms.
No, we are leaving these up here because, you know, I haven't touched them or anything, right? So they're Levitically clean, the Bible says. Crunchy cardboard. Mm. But if you can just imagine 2 billion of them, the enemy is really terrified at the thought of God's people in unity. By the way, I've always thought, you know, the Bible says Jesus, our Lord and Savior, prays for us. I've often thought that the Lord Jesus has a good record at getting his prayers answered. You know what his primary prayer is? John 17:20-23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. How do people know that we belong to Jesus Christ? Because the unity that we have, the swarm that we're in, it's undeniable. The love of God. Father, we thank you.
We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining us for years in isolation. Thank you for sustaining us as individuals sometimes, Lord. And Lord, we've been involved in unions in our life. They always haven't been holy and sacred, but we thank you for providing for us and keeping us alive in unions that were even not right. You've broken them, severed them, and now we're going to have unity. And we thank you, Lord, that there's a place in the body of Christ for my brother that's listening right now. That he doesn't need to be off on his own anymore. You're going to come and get him, and you're going to bring him in and help him find the right flock to be a part of and help him to find the right place in the swarm where he can be lost in the beauty of your Holy Spirit. Lord, the enemy's terrified. He can sense tantrums. When Pharaoh was trying to kill Moses, there was a tantrum spirit of butchery, anger, hatred that divided the world. When Herod tried to kill Jesus and slaughtered all the little ones in Bethlehem, he didn't get who he was after. He threw a tantrum. And Lord, in our time, there are tantrums being thrown, and we know it's the enemy reacting against the fact that he can hear the locusts come. He can hear us being prepared. He can hear us coming together in unity. He can hear us singing one song, one note. Heaven is like a symphony. Hell is like a cacophony. Heaven is where everybody's doing the same thing like in a symphony. And we thank you that you are tuning us and you're bringing us back together. So go ahead and do it, Lord. Send the people in our life. For my precious sister listening, Lord, thank you that her time of isolation and unsafety is over, that she can belong, that she can find a place, that she can matter. And we thank you, Lord, that this is the wind of your Holy Spirit for the next year is coming. A holy swarm, a gathering storm. And thank you, Lord, we will blacken the sky. The enemy will not be able to see. He will not be able to see in order to work because he's terrified of the people of God. So, Lord, we thank you for flipping the pancake, changing it over. We're the locusts now. We're the army of the Lord coming against the works of the enemy. And he has a right to have fear in his heart. The fear of us is coming upon him, but the fear of us together. So, Lord, we renounce all of our isolation and all of our addiction to living inside of our own little self. And we ask you, Lord, to just let us breathe and come out of hibernation slowly and rationally and reasonably and wake up again with an attitude and wake up again with an attitude of hunger and thirst. When those animals come out of hibernation, they are starving to death, and they come out and to eat and drink and to be expansive, Lord. And we welcome out of hibernation. Even parts of ourselves that have been hibernating for years can be gently woken up and brought out so we can participate and be a part of something greater than ourselves. And what did somebody say? Amen. Amen. Can you give him some praise right there? And give him a little praise, just a little baby praise. Now, those of you that are bold, you're going to come out and have locusts because it's a prophetic act. You're literally eating something that represents things that have threatened you before. It's like David killing Goliath with Goliath's own sword. He hit him with the stone and knocked him down, but he took the devil's own sword and cut his head off with it. That's why John's in the wilderness made by locusts going, I'm eating you guys. What you doing, John? I'm eating locusts with some wild honey and some suspicious goat hair on my garment. We're willing to be misunderstood a little bit. Amen? Aren't you? Locusts are always prejudged and wrongly judged. But it's okay. God gets the glory. Just smile real big and say, God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. That's it. You don't need to get in the mix. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, I declare a blessing, Lord. Bless your little locusts and put them in the swarm of your pleasing. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.